Welcome to The Green Urbanist, a podcast for urbanists fighting climate change. I'm Ross. Hello again, and welcome to part 4, the final episode in the Landscape mini-series. In this episode, I sit down with Canon Ivers.
Good afternoon, my name is Canon Ivers. I'm a director at LDA Design London, and I'm a landscape architect.
We discuss LDA's inspiring project, The Strand Aldwych. The Strand was for centuries a busy traffic thoroughfare in central London that has recently been transformed into a totally pedestrianised and multifunctional public space. Canon tells me the story of how this came to be, what it means for the people who use this space, and how it connects to a larger initiative to transform busy roads in central London into public spaces to promote public life, walking and cycling. It's been a lot of fun doing this mini-series and sharing these case studies and these conversations. I hope it's been useful for you and inspiring and informs your own work. And if it has been useful for you, I bet you'd also enjoy the Green Urbanist weekly newsletter, which is, as it says on the tin, a weekly newsletter that you'll get every Wednesday, covering some topic related to green urbanism. So think of it as an extra little thing on top of this podcast. You can sign up to that in via the link in the episode description. And the other thing I'd say is, if you'd like to support the podcast further, do consider sharing this episode or any of the episodes with a friend or a colleague, or sharing it on social media, as that really helps it to grow. And if you've gotten some value out of this, do consider making a donation to the podcast. The podcast is totally free, along with the newsletter, but it's not free to run. And so it is really helpful when people make donations. And there's a link to the page where you can do that in the episode description. You can do monthly donations or just a once-off, and every little bit helps. So yeah, I'd be really grateful if you'd consider that. But for now, enjoy the conversation with Canon Ivers, and I'll see you next time. Fantastic. So LDA are up for 2 awards at the Landscape Institute Awards here today. I think the Strand Aldwych, one of the awards that are up, and one that I'm, you know, really fond of, a space I really enjoy. So I'd love to hear, where did that project come from? You know, what was the approach to it?
Sure. So the project actually began in 2016 when the North Bank bid launched, commissioned to develop a vision. Publica won that appointment and helped the North Bank to test, kick the tires as it were, test to see if it was going to be feasible. Okay. As part of that feasibility study, the North Bank bid commissioned NRP, or NRP were involved in the initial feasibility to test different traffic configurations to see, one, could traffic be taken out altogether? Did it need to retain the buses going through the Strand? And it turns out that the most viable option that was the most efficient was the one that removed the traffic entirely from the Strand and made Aldwych two-way.
Okay.
So that's where it began. After that, Westminster came on board and effectively took the project's vision that had been developed with North Bank bid and Publica to turn it into a project, which was then, there was an invited tender for landscape architecture teams to pitch for that, which we ended up winning and joining the Westminster team to bring the project to fruition.
Brilliant. I mean, it is, for people who maybe aren't aware of it, and I'll include some links to images and that kind of thing, but it's a really important, what was a very important thoroughfare for traffic, very heavily trafficked and polluted, you know, in central London. And it's almost like, click the fingers and now it's this beautiful oasis with no traffic. And it's like, how did you make that? How did you manage to do that? You
know? That's right. And it's the traffic thoroughfare isn't only a modern phenomenon. We found maps from AD 190 that showed that it's always been an east-west connector route. So it's a very, very old street. I usually describe it as a tale of two histories, where you have the very old AD 190 Strand leaving Rome and London. You have Aldwych, which is younger and finished in 1905, which was modeled around the Parisian Boulevard, so much wider streets. But the two collisions of those different histories and different urban grains, in a way, results in the Strand Aldwych configuration that you see now as it is. So you're absolutely right. Once the traffic was removed, so the traffic switch happened, we call it the switch. That's when the traffic was taken off of the Strand and put into a two-way configuration on Aldwych. That happened in August of 2021. And then they were able to test. It was an interesting moment because it was the first time, I argue, in history that the Strand became a place for people to dwell, linger, admire the architect, architecture, etc. Because before that, it was always about getting out of the way of something, whether it was a bus, a taxi, or a horse-drawn carriage. It was always about movement. So when the switch happened, the space could be tested to see what it was going to look and feel like. And Westminster did a really, really good thing there, where they tested the configuration that we had designed. So a skate park was built in the area that we imagined could be open and flexible for events, and it was built in situ. So this idea that something being made is part of that activation story, because we had this idea of it's a place where art is made, not displayed. So seeing that skate park develop and being built on site was interesting. And then there was a food and truck area around St. Mary Le Strand, right in the center of the church, which is where we have the collective dining. So obviously before that, your question was, how did it happen? So we started the project in 2018, and it went through a series of pretty intensive stakeholder engagement sessions and focus groups. So there are 76 different stakeholders that form that. So it's very complex in traffic terms and utilities. It's also very complex as far as the number of institutions, stakeholders that front onto the Strand directly or adjacent in Covent Garden. So we had a series of different focus groups with around culture and placemaking, about operations, how's the space going to look and feel, what's it going to be like, that helped to shape and really form the ultimate final design. So we put three options together through the process of back and forth through those steering group meetings and focus group meetings. We emerged at a project that was effectively a hybrid or a collision of two of those options that came together to form the preferred option.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So what we see there now today in terms of the landscape design, can you give us a bit of a description of what that is and why that came about?
Yeah, so for those of you that haven't seen the site or visited Strand, it's a wide street, and I go back to the transformation that happened in the turn of the 1900s. Because it was modeled around a Parisian boulevard, the streets are much wider than you would typically get in a traditional London context.
Okay, yeah.
And it's tree-lined. So the street is wide, it's generous, and it has now these 100-year-old plane trees. Right in the center of the Strand is a Grade 1 listed church, St. Mary Le Strand. And for over 150 years, actually more than that, it was a traffic island, effectively. The bus drivers and taxi drivers described it as St. Mary on the Way. Because you had to go around it. So there are two lanes of traffic to the south, two lanes of traffic to the north, and the traffic flowed around the church.
Yeah.
So that, for them, it's been an absolute game changer for that. So it's a wide, generous street. It's 350 meters in length from Waterloo Bridge, effectively, to Arundel Street, where there's another church called St. Clement Danes, also Grade 1 listed. So those two churches with Somerset House is an amazing collection of listed architecture. You have King's College, you have the Coulthard Gallery, Somerset House, obviously, two embassies as well. So you have the Indian Embassy and the Australian Embassy, and the Church of England. So it's complex, it's wide, it's long. The reason, also, the length of it really was one of the driving factors of the design. Because it's so long, we want it to feel more episodic, as if you're moving through a series of moments rather than just being this long, linear processional route, which it is. It's a historic processional route. But for the everyday user, we wanted to be a place where you would stop, enjoy a moment, look at the architecture, embrace the space for what it is. So we set up a series of moments along the north side of the street that gets the most sun. We can go and talk a bit more about what those individual rooms are.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do, because I think there's an interesting thing as well about the way the institutions interact with it, and how you're having activities spilling out onto it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, correct. So if you're approaching it from the west at Waterloo Bridge and you're coming into the Strand, you cross through the first secure boundary edge, as in an HVM, hostile vehicle mitigation edge, and you feel you've stepped through a threshold into a safe space. And as you then move towards the center, St. Mary Le Strand Church in the middle, it's a much harder arrival experience, and that's really about this idea of creating a flexible, open platform on which events can unfold, take place, installations can happen. London Festival of Architecture, for instance, or London Design Week, where you might see installations and objects in that space. As you then move further to the east and go around St. Mary Le Strand, it becomes much softer. So we've really been able to amplify the amount of planted areas we can get. There's a lawn space. And then as you move beyond the Strand itself into and beyond the next HVM, it's softer still. And then it continues all the way to St. Clement Danes. So it was really, we set up early on this dialectic that it needed to be a place that could be energetic and tranquil at the same moment, okay, because of its length, or a place where you might have large temporary events and a sense of permanence going on. So those are the key things, is trying to, how do we create this variety in a space that is so long that you can create those moments as you move through? And I feel when you watch people on the site, there is that sense that if you want those quiet, reflective, contemplative moments, you can sit around St. Mary Le Strand surrounded by nature, and a party could be happening in the flexible space outside of Somerset House, and the two can coexist.
Yeah. Am I right in saying this is now forming part of a series of spaces, projects LDA have been involved in, moving up north towards Camden?
Yeah, they're different commissions, but yes, there are a series of different projects that are going on. So the Camden spaces are a series of 8 or 9 individual spaces that formed a bigger master plan. And we've just finished the last of those. So Prince's Circus was the last to be finished and implemented as part of that wider framework. When you look on a map, it looks like they do connect, that there's this moment where you can march down from the North Euston all the way down to the river, and when you see it in map-wise. But they were totally different commissions in different boroughs.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, different boroughs, different commissions. The overarching thing, though, is this idea of removing traffic, reconfiguring and reapportioning how cities are designed so that there's more generous space for pedestrians. Cars, if we need them, can be more efficient, can be redistributed in a different way.
Yeah. It's interesting. Do you feel there's now a momentum towards these kind of projects happening and really, like, going in the opposite direction we have, you know, for most of the 20th century and actually giving space back to people?
I sense that same shift, and I think there maybe is, this is partly due to COVID. There was this move when people began to really appreciate the external environment in a way that they hadn't probably noticed before, when they were in lockdown and they were walking their own streets, seeing their own green spaces. So cities have to respond to that. We also know there's the environmental climate crisis that we're in. Cities are really, I think, one of the best hopes for the future, because we can do things more efficiently, we can make them greener, we can deal with urban heat island effect, we can find ways to capture surface water drainage, deal with suds, slow in the flow, all of these things that are really crucial to the public realm and the environment. But also they make cities way more livable, much more enjoyable to move through.
Yeah.
The thing I notice most about the Strand in particular is how people use it and how they dwell in it, but also the sound. Like, the sound is distinctly different when you move from Waterloo Bridge. There's a point when it still feels loud and there's horns honking and it's polluted and you feel on edge. As you move deeper into the space towards the east and you get in front of Somerset House and St. Mary Le Strand, you feel yourself calm. You know, there's a sense of, okay, this is a different space. I can relax. You let your guard down a little. But also just seeing people in the space enjoying it. There's not enough seating, which is remarkable because we have seating everywhere. And unfortunately, and I describe it as we're victims of our own success, the sanctuary gardens around St. Mary Le Strand has been closed because they've had a condition survey on the church. And some of the masonry needs to be secured before they can open back up. When that sanctuary garden's closed, and there's quite a bit of seating in there, suddenly there really was not enough seating in the space. And it shows just how well it's used. And partly that's driven by the fact you have a campus of 30,000 students at King's when they're there, and they need that space. But that, for them, it's been an amazing moment to unite their campus. And if you're a prospective student, to arrive and get that experience of being on campus. But seeing all walks of life, being in the space, incidental rehearsals going on, a beautiful dance performance was being rehearsed when I wandered through, and it became a video, and it's now on YouTube. And that was the idea, right? This place where art is made, not displayed, but also a place where dance is rehearsed, not performed. And that was a nice way of, how can we think differently about the activation of space? That is not something where someone gets commissioned to do a piece of art in behind the scenes, and it comes and gets just landed in the space, and you take a picture and you walk on. It's the actual rehearsal becomes the activation. It's a nice thing, and to see that happen in space now is deeply rewarding and really encouraging as well.